the condition is critical. Now what? What's your next step? Hello, my friends. This is Mace Haroff. I want to welcome you to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals, which is also being simulcast on the Medical Sales Channel on YouTube. Whether you're watching me or listening to me, I want to thank you for being here because it says something about you as a medical sales professional. You don't accept the status quo. You want to be the best you can be. My opening question, is your situation critical? Well, what do I mean by that? In your medical sales career, you are often going to encounter situations with, especially with certain types of products, that become critical. It could be you're about to lose a customer, you're about to lose an account, or your job might even be on the line because you're not performing as expected. And this is a situation which I often get involved in because a lot of times medical reps will call me just out of the blue. Even though this happens over time, they'll call me and say, hey, my job's on the line. You got to help me out. So what's happening here? You know, this is a situation where a medical rep isn't performing. They're not meeting the company's expectations. They're not meeting their distributor's expectations. In other words, they're not creating business. They're not selling enough. They're not closing business. And it's at this point that they're either given an ultimatum or they're terminated. That's what happens. This is business, folks. It's not personal. And even though you might have a great relationship with people in your company, if you're not producing results, they're probably going to look for someone who can. So here's what happens. Instead of taking positive action, when reps realize that their job's on the line, that they're not producing, they're not hitting quota, what do they usually do? You know what they do? They hope. They hope that things will get better. Here's the problem. You are a medical sales rep. You are not a medical hope rep. Now, I'm not trying to be cute or funny. I'm trying to make an important point here. Yes, it is true that it takes time to build business and relationships in the territory. But if you've been in the territory for 3 to 6 months and you don't see things moving in a positive direction, in other words, you're not picking up customers, you're not closing deals, and especially if you look at the numbers in the territory, if you look at the sales numbers from before you took over the territory, if they're not on a positive upswing, or let's say they were on a downswing, let's say that business was going down, 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 and you come in, at the very least, within 3 to 6 months, the business should stabilize. You should at least be able to start holding on to business that was in the territory. You should be able to stem the loss. If this isn't happening, would you agree with me that something is wrong? Now, yes, getting back to what I was saying, depending on what you're selling, especially if it's capital equipment or maybe single-use patient items such as pacemakers or total hip implants, orthopedic implants in general, those kinds of things, it takes a bit of a longer period of time to establish the relationships. And often selling with capital or these high-priced single patient items is a process. So is the process taking place? Do you feel like you've already started the process? And here's what's most important. When a process is in place, you have to be able to ascertain whether or not the process is working. In other words, are you moving forward? And there's two ways to look at this. You want to look at it in terms of both quantitative and qualitative progress. Both quantitative and qualitative progress. Now, too many reps ignore the warning signs. They are there. And the warning signs, The big warning signs are when you don't see quantitative and qualitative progress. So what is quantitative progress? Quantitative progress is where you're able to measure the number of appointments and follow-up conversations. Okay, so if this is progressing since you took over the territory, because you're starting to meet people, and if you're doing your job, the accounts, the decision makers in your accounts should be more open to meeting with you, especially if you're doing your job and delivering a compelling value proposition. Now, a lot of you are probably thinking, of course I deliver a compelling value proposition. I get in there, I talk about my product. I have a great product. Your product is not the compelling value proposition. What your product might be able to do for your customers, the tangible value, the benefits and outcomes it can create might be a compelling value proposition. It depends on how you present it and whether or not your customers buy into it. But at the very least, with 3 to 6 months in the territory, you should start having an increase in the number of appointments that you are scheduling with your customers. Another thing that's quantitative, if you don't want to look at it in terms of number of appointments, because maybe you don't work that way, maybe you like to go to office to cold call, what is your ratio of getting in front of the decision maker versus the number of calls you're making? It should be going up the longer you've been in the territory. If not, then there is a gap there. Now, here is another big measurable element you should be looking at. That is your follow-up conversation. If you look at the number of sales conversations you're having, the number of initial sales contact conversations you're having with your customers, if you look at the follow-up conversations that you're having, because let's be honest, in medical sales, it depends on what you're selling, but especially with capital equipment, with anything which is really a significant change from what the customer is doing now, it's going to take more than one call to get them to say, yes, let's do this, to close the deal. So are you scheduling follow-up conversations? Are you having regular follow-up interaction with the decision makers? Because if you're not, then the process is not working. It's stalling. And you have to look at that. So that's what I mean by measurable quantitative results. What are qualitative results? Well, qualitative is getting customers to commit to the next step. They say, yeah, I like this. So how many customers are saying, yeah, you know, your product looks good. This is really cool. What's the next step? So another qualitative outcome might be, for example, coming in and doing a trial. Or doing, for example, you know, if you work in orthopedics, you do a sawbone procedure, a demonstration procedure, being able to try it out on a model, or maybe doing a cadaver lab might be the next step. Perhaps it is actually trying it out on a patient. Are you getting evaluations that way? These are qualitative. And if you can quantify it, where then it becomes quantitative measurements. But either way, are you having people that say, I like this, this looks good, this is an improvement over what I've been doing? How often are you hearing that? That's the qualitative type of measurement. Now, many reps see a lack of measurable quantitative or qualitative progress as normal. They say, well, you know, it just doesn't happen that fast. And, you know, some people like it, some people don't. But if you're not tracking it, then it's pretty hard to determine what's causing the stagnation of growth. In other words, if you're not hitting your quota, it means you're not growing the territory. What's causing that? Now, a lot of reps blame it on the product. Well, if I had a better product, I'd be able to do it. I'm not going to debate with you whether or not that is true. Here's the fact. What you have to sell is what you have to sell. You have to sell it. Now, if it's an acceptable product, and I would like to think that it is, otherwise your company wouldn't be offering it, then the differentiator is often going to be the person who's selling it and how effective they are in the field. So If you're not hitting quota, it means that you need to increase your effectiveness, and you can't ignore it. If you're above quota, if you're at or above quota, you probably have nothing to worry about. Then you could coast. But if you're not hitting quota, coasting is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And I'll tell you why in a second. And well, I'll tell you why now. It's because catching up is difficult. The further down the road you get without producing results, the more difficult it is going to be for you to hit quota. Now, some reps, a lot of times, they'll get towards the end of the year. And come September, October, they take a look at their numbers and they go, man, this just isn't going to happen. I'm not going to hit quota. And at that point, they shrug it off. An extremely dangerous thing to do from the perspective of how your company sees you, how your manager sees you. If you work for a distributor, how the distributor or the agency principal sees you. Because if by the end of the year, you're not hitting quota and you're giving up, if you were a manager, what would you do with that person? What would you do? So you never have the luxury of giving up. You have to keep moving forward. Now, a lot of reps tend to put their eggs in one or two baskets. In other words, there's some calls they've made, some sales conversations they've had where it looks extremely promising. And I worked with one rep fairly recently who he sells orthopedic implants. And he had a situation where one of the highest volume surgeons in his territory, they were at the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, and the surgeon came up to him and said, look, I'm really unhappy with the supplier I'm using right now. When we get back, I'm switching all my business to you. So at this point, the guy said, well, this is awesome. I tell you what, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery is early in the year. It's in February. So he says, man, I'll start picking up this business. I'm going to have a killer year. Just bringing this one guy on board will absolutely make my year. And the reality is, if he's able to bring this one guy in, yeah, it'll blow his numbers off the chart. He won't have to pick up another bit of business if he could bring this guy on. But here's the thing. What month is it now? When you're watching this podcast, it's July. So months have gone by and nothing has happened. And he's a member of Medical Sales Academy. He came to me, he said, well, what should I do here? You know, the situation, he's not responding. Yeah, he won't let me follow up. Well, the reality is he never had him because he got involved with Medical Sales Academy just this past May. So we're trying to rebuild it, but he had a commitment from this surgeon and 5 months have gone by with nothing happening. The point I'm trying to make is customers will make promises to you, but until you have measurable progress in terms of outcomes, what they say is meaningless. What are they doing? What proof do you have or evidence do you have that the sale is advancing, that you're moving forward? Now, what I believe happened is that this surgeon, when he spoke to this rep at the academy meeting, he was kind of pissed off at this other rep, and it wasn't going well. Now, this company, of course, realizing that business was on the line, they came in and sweetened things up and made the doctor happy. So he's no longer interested in switching, but yet he doesn't want to appear to have egg on his face by going to this rep and said, yeah, what I said, that's not happening. And that's just the way some customers are. So you can't put all of your eggs in one basket. And if a customer makes a commitment to you, then you have to ask them, what is the next step? How are we going to move forward? In this particular case, he said, yeah, see me after when we get back home, see me after the meeting, and I'll start booking your cases. He went back, he saw the guy, said, yeah, I just got to finish some things. I got some cases coming up. I will have to schedule some time for me to become familiar with your system, et cetera, et cetera. It didn't happen. So you can't take these things to the bank until it actually happens. Now, here's the sad reality. A lot of reps wait. They don't contact me. They don't join Medical Sales Academy until they're already on probation. So let me share this with you. If you're not hitting quota 2 quarters in a row, you have a problem. You have a problem. And, not only if you're looking at it in terms of the dollar volume in your territory. Maybe your sales are close. Maybe they're even there. But maybe your manager is expecting more. Maybe they set your quota on the low side. And you're just barely hitting it. And you know that the manager really expects you to perform at a higher level. The manager is aware of opportunities in your territory. Maybe he sees a competitor getting business that the manager thinks you should have gotten. If you're not meeting these expectations, one quarter, okay, that happens. But the next quarter after that, you got to pick it up. If you go two quarters or more and you're not hitting these results, then you have to take some action. Because catching up is hard. You're already in a catch-up situation. Catching up is hard. And here's the thing. Once the competition has the business, it becomes difficult to unseat them. Unless they screw up, unless there's a serious problem. But even then, if there's a problem, then all of your competitors are going to be rushing in to try and capture that business. But especially now in this age of contracts and making commitments, if you don't get the business, a lot of times you're locked out of it for some period of time. Could be 6 months, a year, 2 years, or longer. So it's very, very important to have the attitude that you have to get the business now. You can't just shrug it off. You know, losing business in the territory or poor territory performance is a lot like an insidious malignancy. With a malignancy, if you catch it early, then you have a much better chance of fixing it. But if you let it go for too long, your chances of fixing it diminish over time. Now, what should you do? I mean, what could you do? Go to a manager. Go to your distributor. Tell them everything you've tried and ask them for some input, saying, "Sir, how would you approach this? What am I missing here?" Go to some of your colleagues, your sales colleagues, and ask them what you could be doing differently, what you might want to try. But here's something that's not an option. That is doing nothing. You have to do something. You see, a lot of reps don't want to go to a manager to ask for help. I get it. A lot of times, just doing some brainstorming can really help you come up with some ways to approach things differently where you could start getting results. There is a very strong tendency in this industry. Let's be honest. If you're doing this and you broke in, you've got a pretty significant ego. You think you're pretty hot stuff. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's good to think that you're hot stuff in terms of having the ability to go out there and persuade a healthcare professional. Some of the most difficult to persuade people on the planet. But if you're not getting the results, a lot of times that ego kicks in and says, "I got to do this on my own. I can't go asking for help." You see it as a sign of weakness. I got to be honest with you. The biggest sign of weakness I see in this industry with medical sales representatives, And this doesn't matter whether you're selling dental or you're selling software, durable medical equipment. Anyone who I see selling in healthcare, this is the biggest sin. They don't ask for help when they're not achieving the performance levels that either they expect of themselves or those levels that are expected of them. So it's a huge mistake if you're not hitting the mark not to ask for help. I want to remind you of a famous Abraham Lincoln quote you may have heard. And the quote goes, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe." What does that mean to you? It means if you have 5-6 months left in the year, and at the time of this podcast, there's exactly 6 months left, and your attitude is to just go out there and keep doing what you're doing, if it's not working, it's a mistake. Take some time to sharpen the axe. In other words, how can you improve your skills? How can you become sharper? How can you come up with newer strategies that you're not trying now? Well, I've shared some of the ways with you. Talking to a manager, a distributor, talking to some of your colleagues, And, you know, I share this with you because it's very painful to me to speak to reps who are about to get fired. Recently, I had a rep who contacted me. He emailed me, and you could hear the desperation in what he wrote. He says, I'm probably too late. I'm pretty sure I'm about to get fired, but I want to do all that I can to at least boost my performance so I'll have a better shot at getting another job. And he joined Medical Sales Academy. And 2 days later, he said, I just got fired. I'm asking for a refund because I'm out of a job, which is kind of baffling to me. It says something about the person. In other words, he has to go looking for a job now. And since he's out of the job, he couldn't save the job he was in. He figures there's nothing else that he has to learn. So he asked for a refund. I gave him the refund because that's my refund policy. You ask for a refund within 14 days, no problem. You get it immediately. But it says something about the way this rep thinks. And the reality was, is that if he would have gotten a hold of me early on, we may have been able to save his job. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. But I also could have helped him to prepare for his next job. Because right now, I don't think he's in a very good position. He just got fired. And that's the other thing. Some reps think that, well, if I don't do well in this job and I lose the job, well, I'll go out and get another job. Well, it's not that easy. Once you've worked in medical sales, the hiring manager is always going to want to know about your previous performance. What happened? Why are you leaving that? Why did you leave that company? Were you terminated or did you resign? What were the circumstances? Even if you leave, why did you leave? Now, if the answer is, well, you know, I left because I was performing spectacularly, but I wasn't being compensated for that level of performance, well, then that makes sense. But when reps who are looking for a job, they tell the hiring manager, they'll say, well, you know, the company's product sucked. You know, my manager was an a-hole. I just couldn't get along. That's showing a weakness on your part. And they'll verify it. They will verify it because they're not looking for people who make excuses. They're looking for people who can perform. So the point that I'm trying to make throughout this entire podcast and video is that if you're not hitting the level of performance that you expect or someone expects of you, don't wait until the situation gets critical. If you have a customer who's unhappy with your product, don't wait until you see him booking cases or trying out the competitor's product. Usually it's too late at that point, or they've already decided that they can't stay with you. Don't wait until situations get critical. It's the reality of this business is you're always going to have critical situations. It just comes part and parcel with the territory. You may have a gap without them, but sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in crisis and you're going to have to manage that crisis. Do it immediately. When there's a fire, don't try to run away from it. Run towards it because you have to put that fire out. If you don't do that, then you're going to find yourself losing business and eventually find yourself out of a job. Now, this isn't a really upbeat type podcast video, but it's a reality. Crisis is part of what you do. And the takeaway message here is to take action sooner than later. I want to thank you for spending some time with me. And by the way, I know that there's challenges that you face in your territory every day. And as you probably know, there's no one-size-fits-all solution for every challenge. That's why I invite you to describe your situation to me. Tell me about your biggest medical sales challenge, and I will help you by giving you a prescription on how you might want to try to tackle the problem designed specifically for someone in your situation. All you have to do is go to medicalsalestraining.com/situation. medicalsalestraining.com/situation. Answer the question on there, and you'll be taken to a video specifically for you, a short video. And then if you're interested, I'm going to make available to you some free training after that. So here's an offer. If you're not getting the results you're after, I'm offering to help you right now, and it won't cost you anything. MedicalSalesTraining.com/situation. And I have another request. If you are enjoying these podcasts and videos, why not give us a like? Show us a little bit of love. Like us on YouTube, like us on iTunes. And if you disagree, and I welcome disagreement, why not post your comments on either the YouTube site, Medical Sales Channel YouTube site, or at medicalsalestraining.com where the videos are also posted, or Medical Sales Guru where the podcast is posted. Let me know how you feel, whether you agree with me or don't agree with me. Share your thoughts. Let's start a discussion. You may also want to connect with me on LinkedIn because I start discussions there every week. So just go to LinkedIn, look up Mace Haroff, and let's connect. So that's it. That's all I got for today. I hope you found this valuable. It could save you a lot of heartache down the road. So thanks for being here. And don't forget that no matter what you do in your medical sales career, nothing is more important than the patient. The patient, my friend, always comes first. You have the ability to make a difference. Why are you still sitting here? Go sell something. This is Mace Haroff. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.